We're very excited about this today. We had a lot of fun preparing for this. For those of you who don't know, my name is Steve Lehman. This is Amanda Kind, Eric DaCosta. We're the KW Glee team, and we decided to do this workshop, which is kind of a two-ply, it's not the word I'm looking for, two-fold benefit that our senior group gets to work with Deb, and then directors and other singers get to watch how Deb interacts with this group. We have packages for directors, and I think all the directors have a package, yes? Good. And we have a package for the performers, which we'll hand out later, that Deb will go through with you. But today will be, Deb's going to warm me up, and then we're going to sing for her, and she's going to do her thing.
I'm so excited!
So, I met Deb last year when we were both judges for the Show Choir Canada National Competition. They brought Deb up from Chicago, and I very much liked everything she had to say to the kids that were performing that day, and that's always stuck in my brain. How can we get her up here to share that knowledge? Because as we know, the Show Choir is, I think, pretty much a uniquely American thing. It's leaking into Canada in a very big way, and we may as well learn from the people who really know what they're doing. your Deb's groups have competed at the national level, the top tier. So we're talking top in the world here, people.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Get ready. Brace
yourself. So here you are. There's Deb.
Thank you. You're going to see my back a lot today, so I made it a little special for you. warm a Spanx. Hi, kiddos. How are you? I'm so excited to be here with you today. First of all, let me just start by saying that clearly your directors think the world of you to even do this extra, something extra. It's really hard. And I know this as a teacher who brings in people to work with my own group. It's really, really hard to bring in somebody else to work with your group. It puts you and them in a very, very vulnerable kind of state. So the fact that they are able to do this in the first place says so much about your directive team, that all they want for you, aside from themselves, is the very best possible education that you can get. So you owe them a great big thank you to start the day. My name's Deborah Utley, and I am from the Chicagoland area. This is my 18th year as a high school teacher. It's my 13th year teaching show choir. I didn't grow up with show choir. I grew up in Iowa and Kansas. Yeah. I will say y'all a lot, so brace yourself. But we didn't have that. We had choir, and I was very blessed to my entire life in school to have amazing choir directors, my middle school choir director, my high school choir director. I had a great theater director. So actually, I double majored in music ed and theater when I went to college in Illinois, and that's how I got to the Chicagoland area. I was not certainly in my mind going to be a teacher. I wanted to be a performer. And I was a singer, I was a dancer, I was an actress. I thought I was so good. I went to college for that, and one of my dear friends, who's now my dear friend, she was my professor at the time, she pulled me over to the dark side, and when I was a sophomore, she goes, you're supposed to be a teacher. What are you messing around with, this performance stuff? And I'm like, get out of here. I'm going to be a star. Okay. No, you're going to be a teacher. I'm like, damn it, Judy, I'm not going to be a teacher. Oh, I swear sometimes, too. I'll try to.
That's okay. Amanda swears all
the time. I'll stay away from the really bad ones.
Okay. I try to.
I try to. I'll try. But she convinced me, and I at least changed my major, but I really wasn't gonna do this thing. I got very fortunate, and I had an audition at the Chicago Auditorium Theater. They had a person get very, very ill, and they needed a soprano replacement immediately. and my choir director at the collegiate level. Her name is Susan Moniger. She's the founder of Shofar Camps of America. She actually made her fortune as a jingle singer back in the 80s and was my director. She had a lot of networks, and the accompanist for it was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at the time at the theater, and the accompanist Phil Reno was a very good friend of hers, and she said, "I have a girl, I'm gonna send her." So it was dead of winter, and I trudged into the city, and I went into the theater, and I got to go backstage, and I went into Phil's dressing room. He auditioned me. I had all my music, I had all my books, I had all my swag, so I thought. And he had his piano, and he had this mirror above the piano, so he played, and I stood behind, and we did a number, we did another number, we did a number, and another number. I'm like, oh my God, this is it, this is my time, this is my moment. And then we did Glitter and Be Gay from Candide, and hopefully you've gone online and seen Kristen Chenoweth do Glitter and Be Gay. The end is this really high note. It's kind of ugly, if you ask. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. So my voice teacher and I changed it. And so I'm Glitter and Be Gay, and we're singing, and blah, 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 and I sing that last, you know, my new note. And Phil slams the book closed, and he turns to me, and he goes, "Nobody changes Bernstein." And he walked out. I'm like, is that it? Am I done? Like, he didn't even say goodbye. He didn't say this audition is over. He just walked out. So I grabbed my books. And I went, okay, I think I'm gonna be a teacher. I don't think I can handle this ever again in my life. And so I made the choice right then and there on that cold December day that I was gonna be a teacher. And I went and I student taught with, again, I was very spoiled and I had some wonderful people to student teach for. And the second that I was with kids and I saw that what they could do with a little bit of my help, it was a feeling far greater than I ever got from anybody applauding me on the stage. And I was like, oh my God, Judy was right. I'm supposed to be a teacher. This is a mess. So I became a teacher, and I could not be happier for it. And I have to tell you, it is the greatest job in the world. I get to get up in the morning and go make music all day and all night usually. And that's my life. And actually somebody pays me money to do it. So it's a glorious life. If any of you are thinking about it, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. It is the greatest, 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 greatest thing in the land. I will say this, and we're going to talk about vocal health later. All those 18 years of teaching, and I was a color tour soprano. I was a soprano. I sang every waking second of my life. And about 10 years into teaching, I noticed that I couldn't really sing anymore. I was struggling in the passaggio area. I can only sing on Monday, Tuesdays, and then the rest of the week was no good. And then a couple years later, I couldn't really sing at all. And so I went and saw a doctor. And in the Chicagoland area, we have one of the best vocal doctors in the world. And his name is Dr. Bastian. And I went to see Dr. Bastian. And it turned out I didn't have nodes, which a lot of people get. And they get them shaved off and they're fine. I had cysts on both of my vocal cords that covered the entire width of each cord. And it was from just abuse. It was from using my voice, from using it incorrectly. Not from singing, but from talking all day long. And worse, as a teacher who couldn't play piano, because of course I was a soprano, so we don't have to do anything else.
Someone will do that for you.
Yeah, somebody will do that for us.
We have people for that.
I have people for that.
Eric's pointing at me.
Right?
What the heck?
So as a young teacher who couldn't play piano, to help the basses, I would sing the bass part. And to help the tenors, I would sing the tenor part. And to help the altos, I would sing the alto part. And I had no business singing those parts all day long. And it caused a complete vocal fatigue. And then, of course, I would try to sing over that vocal fatigue. And that's how I got injured. So we are going to talk about vocal health later. I can no longer sing. I'm not a singer anymore. I'm a great tenor. I'll show you that later. But now I'm a teacher who teaches singing who can't sing. So it's, as I clear my throat, it is a difficult thing, and it does make teaching a little harder for me today. And it makes teaching a little harder for my students. And I've talked with them, and I've thought about career changes only because my worry is I can't model anymore. Am I still going to be effective? Are my kids still going to be able to sing with good tone? And it's been now 6 years that I've been teaching without being able to sing, and it's been okay. Fortunately, I have the memory of all the technical crap we have to do in order to get a good sound, and I still have my hearing. Once that goes, we're screwed. But I still have my hearing, so I can hear when you are singing well. So that's where I'm at today. So I'm not going to model for you. I'm not going to sing some stuff for you. So we are going to talk a lot about, as we start our training here in a little bit, we're going to talk a lot about all the technical stuff we have to know as singers. It's not just about opening our mouth and letting it out. Because you're 16, 17, 18 years old, it's going to sound pretty good. And you're not going to get as tired as us old people do. And you're pretty resilient right now. But a few years down the road, I want to make sure that you don't poorly use your voice and have what happened to me happen to you. So that's enough about me. Before we hop up and get to work here, I have just really one question for you. And that's why, and please raise your hand and feel free to talk to us. Why are you here? Why do you do this awesome thing? Why? I knew you were ready. I knew you'd be my first one, girl. Look at that face.
Well, I've been here since term one.
Okay.
And for me, every term, it's this incredible community of people that loves to sing. And it's these awesome young people who are so inspired by music and by our awesome directors. And we come together and I think we do some pretty cool things. And every time come show week, the stuff that we put together, it's like, oh yeah, this is why I'm here. And there was a moment in rehearsal not that long ago, and we were doing, I don't even remember, I think it was Waiting on the World to Change. And without even sort of communicating about it, we all started swaying, like step touching and jumping. And I was like, oh yeah, this is why I'm here. And it's moments like that that keep me coming back for 8 turns later.
You are awesome. Oh.
So much as a person from being here, and I love coming in. Like, there's no other reason I would get up early Saturday mornings besides me. Like, it's worth getting up in the morning.
That's an awesome answer. Anybody else? Yes, love. I can talk for one already.
I needed to step outside of my comfort zone. And this definitely.
Well, I can't wait to see who does this. How come?
Because I am into a lot of different things other than this,
cool.
And I really wanted to connect more with my music, so this was so awesome to meet everyone.
Yes, sweetie.
I came here because this is the only place I feel like I'm cool.
A lot of us feel that way, don't we? A lot of us feel that way, but this is our home. This is our home.
House, my brother has his toothbrush. I can come off and he can just unscrew the door and get it.
Faster. find a place. You dare to be different. I like that. Yes, lovely with the red lipstick. Love.
Why do you keep saying that? Okay.
You look so great. You know who wears red lipstick and doesn't want somebody to say something about it.
Be amazing and people will tell you how amazing you are, and or you can suck and they will tell you that you suck, but they make you so much better. Everyone here just really wants us all to be really, really good, so we all really help each other, and I think that because of that we're all, like, nobody's screwing around, we're all gonna become really great.
We talk about that a lot in my group, that you know what, hey, your comrade is gonna comment, hey, you're not getting that stuff right. Here's how it goes. And it's not to say, hey, you're dumb, it's to make you better. And so you've got to remember that when one of your comrades says, hey, that wasn't so great, you got to work on this, that they're not trying to pull you down, they're really trying to lift you up. And if you go at it from that angle, I could talk all day, so we're going to get to singing here in a minute. But that's how you've got it, and that's what love is. That's what love is, being able to be true mirrors to each other. But the problem is, too, and, you know, jealousy does run rampant every now and then. Okay. Well, there's a reason you didn't. And I have kids, and I always open my door and say, hey, come and ask me. I'll tell you why you didn't get it. And here's usually my answer. They were better. They were better. You didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't that they were better today. And maybe if I did these auditions tomorrow, you would be better. Move on. Or what Miss Utley is, but Steve, if you will. We were talking about this last night. Our job, it sucks a little bit, because what we cannot forget in music education, it's education, but this is a talent-based field that we're in. It's about talent. Are you good? Not everybody is. That doesn't mean our love is any less for what we do, but not everybody is at the same level just with our God-given gifts. Some of us have to work a little bit harder. And that's what I always tell my kids. Hey, she's better. If you want to be better, go work your ass off. Don't come crying to me that this didn't go well today. Go work and stop crying. The problem is, some people can work and work and work and work, and they're still not going to get there. And that's where our hearts break. That's where our hearts break. And we have to say, go do art. Continues to suffer from paranoid schizophrenia. She has many, many, many other mental issues. And then when I was 3, she married a very, very, very bad man who was very abusive in many, many ways. And for 8 years, I endured that until I was 11 and was able to escape. And I got out, and I lived with several foster families from age 11 to 14. Some were nice, some were not. It was a very rough time for my teenage years, and it's when I found that music was all I was going to have. Music was all I had. Singing was all I had. And I did have a grandmother whose house I would go to, and when she was off doing her thing, I would go into her bedroom, and she had what we call a hi-fi, which is a big-ass record player, okay? And she had Barbara Streisand and Judy Garland, who I wouldn't listen to anymore, but Johnny Mathis, and all these wonderful, wonderful singers, and I would play those records, and I would look at myself in the mirror, and I would sing and sing and sing and sing all day long. And that's all I would do. And then I noticed, oh, I ain't too bad, that's true. And then as I finally had a maternal aunt and uncle who lived in Kansas City, and when I was 14, they became foster parents so that they could take me. And so they did, and they raised me since I was 14. And I discovered, you know, in high school, I joined choir, and I joined the theater program, and that was my niche. And so for me, from a very young age, this was all I had. This was all I had. And it was the only thing that gave me any self-worth, just like we've already talked about. And so I know a lot of us feel that way. I'm not standing up here from a privileged background. Actually the very opposite. The house I grew up in until I was 11, we had holes in the floor. I had clothes in a pile that I would just hope would fit. I had cavities in every teeth, you know, bad hair. So I'm not very patient with people who blame other factors and external factors for not being able to be successful in life. So not only am I here to talk to you about music today, but for me, teaching kids, not teaching music or teaching show choir, teaching kids to be successful members of society is really what I want to do. And I want to give you very, very important life lessons through what we do here. And I know that's what your directors do as well. But I feel that now I actually have an advantage because I did have to go through something not so great and come out on the other side. And if I can do it, I know that anybody can. Regardless of your situation in life, you can have a different one. You can. And where you're sitting today is a great start towards that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.